So, we're in, looking at the series of I Am Who God Says I Am, and we're in the penultimate in the series, which is the last but one in the series. One more to come with Louise next week. We've looked at I Am a Beloved Child of God, which was Dan kicked the series off. We've looked at I Am a Dwelling Place for God, which was Colin. We've looked at I Am Made in Right in God's Eyes, which was me. I Am a New Creation, which was Laura and Dan. I Am Welcomed into God's Perfect Presence was Liz. And then 2 weeks ago, we had Jane talking about I Am Purposely Chosen by God. So this week, I've got the privilege of speaking on I Am Created to Do Good Works. And I think what God wants us to do tonight, God wants us to encourage us and challenge us to kind of say, God has got good things planned for us. My first slide, I've got a flag here of Ukraine, because we were praying for Ukraine before. And when I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know what the world needs more than anything else? It needs peace at the moment. And one of the verses that was given for this talk is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If the world needs anything at the moment, it needs reconciliation. We listen to the news and we can hear all the bad stuff, but there is good stuff happening in the middle of all of that. If you look at the border with Poland, with Ukraine, the Polish nation are helping the Ukrainians who are coming across the border. They are reconciling themselves, even though years ago in World War II, there was a massive conflict where there's what was a genocide. Some Ukrainians killed thousands and thousands of Polish people. But the Polish people have forgiven them. They're reconciling themselves. And that's what God wants to happen in the world. That's what God wants to happen in Ukraine and Russia, I believe, at the moment. Well, let's get onto the talk. So 2 weeks ago, Jane spoke about God choosing us for a purpose. And this leads really well into my talk tonight. And what Jane was talking about, I was mulling over what she said about there's a dilemma, isn't it? God chose us before the creation of the world, you know, and that's like predestination. And then to like, but we have free will. So which is it? Did God choose us or did we choose God? And I was been pondering over that for the last few weeks, Jane. You made me think about this, which is good to think, isn't it? It's good to think. And there's a picture here of Donkey from Shrek going, pick me, pick me. And I was thinking about kind of some kind of like, I was thinking about football works is a really good analogy. So if you imagine when I was at school, you got chosen to play for the football team. Usually the best players always got picked first, didn't they? I was never picked first. Oh. You stood there in line thinking, when am I going to get picked next? Am I going to be the last one to get picked because I'm not quite good enough as the first ones? And I was thinking, it would be like if you didn't choose to follow God, it's like Barcelona or Real Madrid coming to you and saying, I want you in my team. I want you in my team. And then saying, nah, I want to go and play for Accrington Stanley or Tranmere Rovers or something. So that's why I kind of work it out, is if God chose us, but it's up to us to accept that he's chosen us and he's chosen us for a purpose. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. This is from the Message. It says, but you are the ones chosen by God. He's talking about us here. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So God has chosen us to do priestly work, to be a holy people, which he spoke about a few weeks ago, and to be his instruments to do his work, to tell others of what difference he's made in our lives. So I thought, why do we need to work? Well, if you go way back to Genesis 2, verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So God had worked in creation, yeah? He'd made 6 days creation, he worked. And then God put man in the Garden of Eden to work, which was a paradise at the time. And he said, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Which is all well and good. You know, God's been given good work to do. Man's been given good work by God to do. But then unfortunately, there was the fall. And in Genesis 2, verse 23, says this. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. So the ground that man was put to work in wasn't as good as the paradise that he'd been put into in the first place. But it's turned round. God has sent Jesus to choose us to do good work in good soil, not in difficult, hard soil, but in good soil. So I started thinking about, so let's take a drink first. I get really thirsty. I started thinking about some of the work that my first job was in Quicksave. I was about 16, 17. I was a store assistant in Quicksave. It meant I was stacking the shelves, but that's okay. It was good for a time. When I passed my test, when I was about 17 or so, I got a job working for my uncle. He had a tool hire firm, and that's a picture there of a battered old blue kind of van, pickup truck. It was better than that when I first started driving it. I think I didn't last there very long. In fact, one day I was driving. I used to drive too fast. I have to admit, hands up. When I was a young lad, I drove. When I was still driving, I drove too fast. And I was going around a bend one day, and far too fast. And got back to the depot where I worked. And someone rung up and said, "Have you lost anything? Have you lost anything?" And I had some big rolls of stuff that I was meant to be taking back there had suddenly kind of gone off the back of the truck and landed on the side of the road. Fortunately, it didn't kill anyone, but a lesson learned, don't go too fast around corners and strap your rolls of things into your van. My next job I worked for was at the Ascot Tavern. The Ascot Tavern, I probably shouldn't admit this as an elder, but this is probably one of my favorite jobs I ever had. I used to work in a pub. I used to work behind the bar. We got free drinks afterwards, and you had a lie-in the next day. What better job can there be? Now, I have had several other jobs since then. One job I went to work for, and the only reason I'm actually here on the Wirral, here in this church, I went to work for the RNIB, Royal Institute of Blind People, a great organization. I worked there for 7.5 years, and apart from church, the only place I could say that I ever felt where people were pulling in the right same direction and were committed and doing things all for the right purpose. And that is what God has called us to do in church. So God's chosen us for a purpose. But the problem that we've got is that we doubt him. I think we doubt him that he's got things planned for us and that we can actually do those things. So what I'm going to do is something different. Normally we talk about all the things that are good, and I'm going to say, actually, look at the objections that we might have ourselves. Okay? So bear with me, we've got 4 points to go through. So first of all, we think, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to do good works for God. Look at the things I've done. Look at the mess I've made. Look at what I've made in my life. But God would say something completely different to us. He would say, from Ephesians 2, verse 10, this is the New Living Translation, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He planned things for us even before the creation of the world, and that's quite an amazing thing to think about. He purposed things for us. He planned good things for us before the foundation of the world. But we doubt that sometimes, but God would say something different, that we are indeed good enough because of what Jesus has done for us. And Paul says this in Philippians. In Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a picture here of a potter with a pot, making a clay pot. And so often we think, well, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm this, I'm that, I've messed up, I'm not perfect. But you know what? None of us are. It doesn't stop us doing things and God using us in whatever he chooses to put us. So let's not put God down and doubt that he can't use us. Because he says he's begun a good work. He may not have finished with us yet. He hasn't finished with me yet. He's got a work to do. But he's in the business of doing those changes in our lives. Second thing he would say to us, we might say to ourselves, sorry, is I'm not equipped. I can't do it. I haven't got the skills. I haven't got the talents. I'm not able to do this. In fact, exactly what I said a year ago when someone talked to me about becoming an elder. I said, well, I'm not really equipped for that. Didn't I, Kath? I'm still not sure I am equipped for that. But you know, God promises that he will equip us. He will give us the things and the gifts, even when we don't think we have them. A few years ago, actually, Kath gave me, I don't really remember this, Kath, there's like a questionnaire or form you can fill in to kind of say what kind of things you're good at, and to work out kind of where you might be useful, you know, what kind of gifts you could give to the church or in your life, you fill all those kind of things in, and I thought it's very useful, really, really useful. But none of them was about preaching. I never came up as a preacher. And do you know what? I just want to. God is so good and so faithful. He gives us things that we don't expect to get. I didn't expect to be up here preaching. I still don't think I'm the best equipped preacher. But God is gracious, you know. And I remember saying to Kath, I think God wants me to speak on something. And then, unfortunately, now I'm here all the time. Can't get out of it. Can't get out of it. So here's another question. Okay, when we talk about good works, are we working for God or are we working with God? Because so often we can think, I'm going to do great things for God, and nothing wrong with that particularly, but sometimes we can go down the wrong road, think, I'm going to do these great things, and God isn't in it. God isn't in it. Or we're doing it because we think, oh, I'm going to get some great brownie points here. God's going to really love me. Or the church are going to really love me. Or whatever it might be. Are we doing things for God? Are we doing things with God? This is Philippians 2:13. It says, for God is working in you to giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So God is changing us. We're talking about he's still working in us. He's giving us that desire to want to do his will. And as well as the desire to do that, he's giving, if we're open and honest enough, he will give us the power and the tools to do that as well. Because so often we get things wrong. We get things, it's all about us doing God's work, which is not a bad thing. But God's work is not necessarily man working for God. It is God's own work, often wrought through man's hands. And this is a quote from Hudson Taylor. God's work is not necessarily man working for God. It is God's work, often wrought through man's hands. God has chosen to use us to reach people. He's chosen us to preach the gospel. He's chosen us to reach the world. He's chosen us to pray for Ukraine and for Russia. He's chosen us. There's no one else. He hasn't got a plan B. He has chosen us. There's no one else. And sometimes, it's a quote from Oswald Chambers here, it is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for him. It's the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for him. Because if we're open, God can do things through us that we don't expect. We try and do things in our own strength, and sometimes we say, God, I haven't got the strength. I haven't got the strength to do that. Come and help me. Come and help me. And I don't know what you've heard this quote before. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So we're all of us here are called to do different things. We're all called to be followers of Christ. But he promises to equip us when we're called. We don't necessarily need to be perfect in everything we do before we do it. He says that, he says here, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. When you're called and step out for God, he will give you the tools and the giftings to do those things. Yes, sure, there's some things that we're all more gifted at than others. I can play the drums. I would never think about touching those keyboards. I wouldn't have a clue. Do you know what I mean? God does give us natural abilities and talents, and God wants to use those. But there are some areas we can step out in where God can equip us in things we didn't ever expect to do. Third thing, one of our doubts is, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure what God wants me to do. This is a question of we more all have had at some points, at different points in our lives. Lord, what do you want me to do? And that can be at different points in our lives. We're not sure what God's doing. We're not sure where our next step is. We're not sure where our next step is. And we can never be 100% sure, but sometimes we just need to step out what we think God is calling us to do. Sometimes it needs about it's talking to someone else, praying with someone else, finding out what do they think about your choices you're making or the decisions you're going to make. But the worst thing is not to do anything. Sometimes we need to just sometimes step out and trust God is, like I said before, is going to equip us because he's going to give us the tools and the gifting to do those things he's calling us to do. The fourth and final one. What I do isn't important. That's often we think, what I do is not important. We think, my little task, I don't know, whatever I might be doing, whether it's at home, or whether it's at school, or college, or work in our with our neighbors, we think that what we do is not important. God would want us to challenge that in our thinking. And it's funny, I was Ali was saying to me, she woke up in the night, didn't you, dreaming about sheep and the goats, and this was exactly what I'd prepared as part of this talk before she even said it. If we look at Matthew 25, verse 31 to 36, it's the Message version, and it says, when he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he will sort out the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, enter, you are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. It's planned since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the rest of the verses go on, and the people say, when did we do this? You did that when you came to visit, when you fed the sick, fed the hungry, when you visited the sick, when you did all those things, even for the least of people that you think might be the least of people. Jesus would say, what you do for the least, you're doing it for him. So sometimes we think that what we do is unimportant, what little tasks we might do every day, what little gift we might give to someone, what kind word we might say to someone. We think it's not important. God would say something completely different. Those are good works that he's given us to do. There's no one else who lives next door to your neighbor apart from you. There's no one else that, you know, when you're walking down the street, there are people that cross your path. There are people that cross your path at work. And no one else does, yeah, in the same way. God puts us in positions where we can do things or say things to encourage people, to bless people, to feed people, whatever it might be that no one else can do because God has put us in those positions. And God is saying, step out and do those things. Even if you think it's not very important, it's important to me. There's a verse, back to that verse from Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I want to counteract those four objections with these four statements. First of all, God has made you good enough. He's made us good enough, and he's chosen us to do things that only we can do. He's choosing you to do things that only you can do. He has equipped you, and he will equip you, and when you are working with him. Thirdly, he will guide you, and there are plenty of good works to do. The world is crying out for people to step out and do the works that God has called them to do. The world is desperate for people who will step out and tell how good God is and share the good news, the excellent news of what he's done for us. And fourth, finally, what you do is important to God and to others. Can I ask the band to come back? God has chosen us, he's chosen you for a purpose. And I think he would say to us tonight, don't give up. Don't doubt what he's done and what he's going to do in our lives. When we were playing that song before, I wrote some of the verses down. And Do It Again, in that song, it said, you made a way where there was no way. You made a way where there was no way. And the final song, Here Again, one of the lines went, dry bones awaken. I think God would say to us, come on tonight, dry bones awaken. If you're feeling dry and thinking, God, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know where I'm going, I can't see you at work, God would say, come on, don't give up, dry bones awaken.